is he? Where is he? Where is Jesus? Where is he? Oh no. Where's Jesus? Where's he gone? Where's Jesus? Now, we just read a story that goes a little bit like this. We know that Mary and Joseph were walking back from Jerusalem. They were walking back and they went a whole day and they didn't realize. They looked around and they said, where's Jesus? Where is he gone? And they couldn't find him, so they went a whole day's journey back to Jerusalem and they said, where is he? Where's Jesus? And for a whole day, they looked for him in Jerusalem. And then after three whole days, they finally found him. And I think we often ask the same question. Where is Jesus? Now, the intention of the talk today is to look at where is Jesus? And the answer to that is, he is in our midst. Right? The answer to that question is, if we go to Luke chapter 2, so we just read that, and so they're looking for him, they're looking around, and in verse 46, it says, after 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, and I liked the version that you were reading, I think it was a King James, and it said, they found him in the midst of the doctors. Now, in modern English, maybe that's the midst of the doctorates of theology. They found him in the midst. Now, this morning I'm going to keep using that phrase. And the reason I like this phrase is because you won't hear it anywhere else. In the midst. And I'm not going to look at the Greek word because I'm pretty sure you understand what it means, right? In the midst. It's fairly clear, even if you don't understand Old English. Jesus was in the midst. Now, in this situation, he was in the midst of Israel, the midst of Jerusalem, the midst of the temple. Right? Right smack bang in the middle. And it says, they say, why are you treating us like this? What are you doing? And he says in verse 49, why were you looking for me? Didn't you know that I must be about my Father's business? So when we ask the question today, where is Jesus? The answer to that question is that he is about his Father's business. He is in our midst about God's business. So, the intentions this morning are three things. I want us to be able to realize and recognize that Jesus is currently in our midst. He's with us. He's much closer than what we may think. Right? The second thing is that because he is in our midst, we can put far more reliance on him. And the third thing is that phrase. I want us to go into the week with that easy to remember phrase. I love the King James in that. If you read a verse, it's very memorable because, as I said before, it's something you don't hear very often. I want you to remember that Jesus Christ is in our midst. Right. So, what we're going to look at is we're going to look at three cases where Jesus was in our midst before his death. We're then going to look at a case where during his death he was in our midst. And then we're going to look at three cases that Jesus is in our midst after resurrection. So today. Right? With the focus, I'm going to say it one more time. Jesus Christ is in our midst and always has been. So, the first instance, he was in our midst doing his Father's business. Now we're going to look at the second one, Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. This expression comes up quite a few times in the Bible, Jesus Christ in the midst, and this over and over again, and I think it's really good. We can get a little lesson from each time that it's mentioned. Now I'm sure this is the one. When I originally said the phrase, this is probably where your brain goes straight to. Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. It's a very popular phrase. For where two or three are assembled in my name, I am there in their midst. I am there among them, is what my version says here. Right? Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. Now, this phrase is like a beautiful summary of the exhortation today. It just says exactly what I want it to do. Jesus Christ is in our midst. Wherever there's two or three of us, well, look how many there are of us today. So therefore, Jesus Christ must be in our midst. Right? Now, there it is a little deeper than that, this verse. If you look at the context, it's about, it's a bit scary, it's about judgment. But I think it's about a little bit more than judgment. I'm going to quickly go to Deuteronomy verses 19, of chapter 19, verses 15 to 18, where we get this expression of two or three. So we go to Deuteronomy chapter 19, verses 15 to 18. A single witness may not testify against another person for any trespass or sin that he commits. A matter may be legally established only on the testimony of two or three witnesses. And then it goes on. Are we going to read the whole thing? Let's do it. If a false witness testifies against another person and accuses him of a crime, then both parties to the controversy must stand before the Lord. That is before the priests and judges who will be in office in those days. The judges will thoroughly investigate the matter, and if the witness should prove to be false and to have given false testimony against the accused. Right? So the intention of this isn't the scary, like, ooh, judgment. I think the intention of this two or three is actually about reconciliation. Now, it's really important. Reconciliation is more about resolving our differences and making sure that we are together. You need judgment in order to get people to actually truly get together and resolve any conflicts that we have. So I think that this verse, this two or three, when Jesus is talking about it, is talking about reconciliation. And we've got to remember that Jesus' current position is as our mediator, which is exactly the same thing, right? Reconciling us to God, reconciling us with one another, right? So the first point was, where is Jesus? He's in our midst doing his Father's business. The second one, he's actively working toward reconciliation amongst us. He is trying to bind us together, trying to get unity in the ecclesias. Okay, the next one, Luke chapter 22. Now, Luke chapter 22, this phrase comes up again in verses 27 to 28. And it says, "For who is greater, the one who is seated at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is seated at the table? But I am in your midst as one who serves. I am in your midst as one who serves." So that's Luke 22, verse 27. So the other scenario where Jesus was in our midst is giving us service, doing service for us, right? So these are the three instances before his death that I want to draw us to where Jesus was in our midst. The first one, it was doing his Father's business. The second one, reconciliation, bringing unity. And the third one is service. Jesus Christ was in our midst doing these three things. Now, the thing is with these three things, is these are things that we can be doing today as well. Jesus, before his death, was doing those. So therefore, I think those are three things that we need to be in the midst of the ecclesias trying to do. Doing our Father's business, reconciling people, making sure that there is unity. And the third thing is serving one another. That's what Jesus was in our midst doing. That's what we should be doing today. So Jesus Christ was in our midst doing those things before death. Now, there's a kicker. The in-between one is at his death. So let's go to John chapter 19. Now, John chapter 19 and verse 18, this expression comes up again, where Jesus is in the midst. Now let's see who he's in the midst of. It says in John chapter 19 verse 18, "There they crucified him along with two others, one on each side with Jesus in the midst.
So I want you to picture this. You've got one person here, you've got another person up here, and Jesus is right in the midst of these two being crucified.
Now this is a really interesting scenario. That expression comes up again, and it's during his death. He is in the midst of two sinners. Right? Now, if you really want to capture this, we're going to go to Luke chapter 23, because I think one of the people on one of his sides has this beautiful summary of what Jesus is actually doing. Luke chapter 23 and verse 41. Well, let's start from verse 40. Oh, 39, we don't want to start. One of the criminals who was hanging there railed at him, saying, "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." And the other one rebuked him, saying, "Don't you fear God? Don't you fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we, rightly so, for we are getting what we deserve for what we did. But this man has done nothing wrong."
So Jesus is here in the middle. Right? One side we have the sinner saying, "Save us! You can save yourself and save us too." And the other one says, "Hey, shush! We deserve this. We are pinned up on these crosses being crucified because we deserve it." But Jesus, who is in the midst of these two criminals, he doesn't deserve it.
Verse 41, "We are getting what we deserve for what we did, but this man has done nothing wrong." Jesus was in our midst as one of us. Jesus was in our midst dying for us, taking the punishment that we deserve. Right? He was in our midst willing to die. He's so connected to us that he took the same punishment that we deserve. He was absolutely in our midst, even to death. So, that's also what we're here to remember today, by the way. We've got that verse before, the breaking of bread, where he is serving us the breaking of bread. And then we can recollect and say, well, in fact, he even was willing to die in our midst. To die for us in our midst. And I think that picture paints it beautifully, having these two sinners who are actually us. We hope to be this guy, right? We are deserving of that death, and Jesus is in our midst. Indeed. Okay, so now let's go to something a little bit more positive. After resurrection. So we've got another three verses about how he was in our midst after resurrection. So let's go to John chapter 20. John chapter 20 and verse 19. Now, for the first three instances, I wanted you to think of what we should be doing in the midst, right? We should be reconciling people, we should be doing our Father's business, and we should be, what was the other thing? Serving. Then we went to the cross, and Jesus was in our midst dying for us, and that's what we remember today. But now I want to look at how we can rely on Jesus today. How Jesus is in our midst today, and we can learn to rely on him. Right, so John chapter 20 verse 19. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the disciples had gathered together and locked the doors of the place. The doors are locked, they're barred. Right? Because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Now what I want you to focus on here is the fact that they were all gathered, much similar to us, right? It's the first day of the week, we're all gathered together in a room. But the difference is, the doors are all locked. There is no way in, there is no thoroughfare into this building, right? It's fully locked up. But what is Jesus able to do? He just appears in the midst of them. So what I want us to focus on this passage is that now, there are no barriers for Christ to be in our midst. After his death, there is nothing stopping him. There are no more barriers. You know about sin? Forget that. He destroyed that on the cross. There is nothing stopping Jesus from being in our midst today. He can appear in a room on the first day of the week with the doors locked, no problem. Right? There is nothing stopping Jesus from being in our midst anymore. Okay, the next one. The present. Revelation. We have to go to Revelation now because we're talking about current stuff and then the future. Sorry. Don't worry, it's the easy ones. Revelation chapter 2. You know it's easy when it's the first sort of three chapters of Revelation, you can relax. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 1. Oh, no symbols in here. We can work them out, don't worry. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. To the angel of the church in Ephesus, the ecclesia in Ephesus, if you'd like, write the following. This is the solemn pronouncement of the one who has a firm grasp on the seven stars in his right hand. The one who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. So what is Jesus doing currently in our midst? It's said that Jesus is there with the seven stars walking through the seven lampstands. Now, we know that that symbol of the lampstands are the ecclesias. And so it's pretty clear that Jesus is walking in the midst of the lampstands. Walking, to me, sounds like he's active. Right? He's not just standing there waiting around. He's walking in these lampstands. So the lampstands are the ecclesia, the ecclesias, and walking means active, as far as I'm concerned. So this simply says, Jesus, today, is active in the midst of the ecclesias. Now, I'm happy to discuss that afterward, but I think that that's a pretty, clear statement when I read it. Right? So Jesus is very much active in our ecclesias today. He is in our midst today, working, helping, reconciling, serving, doing his Father's business. He's still doing it today. He didn't give up once he died. He's doing it with no barriers now. Right? He is actively walking amongst us and helping us. And therefore we can rely on him. He is in our midst. One more thing. Revelation chapter 7, verse 17. Now we've looked at Jesus in the present, but what do we have to look forward to in the future where Jesus will be in our midst? Revelation chapter 7, verse 17. Oh, more symbols. Okay, because the Lamb in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Okay, let's do this. I think Lamb is Jesus. Yes, that's one. Because the Lamb, Jesus, in the midst of the throne, will shepherd them and lead them to springs of living water. So we're the sheep, he's the shepherd, springs of living water. Sounds pretty good. All, no more tears anymore. This is a little glimpse into the kingdom that Revelation has given us. Possibly in the 1,000 years. Right? And what we have to look forward to, our hope, is that Jesus is there in the midst of the throne. He's the ruler. He's leading it. Right? He's our shepherd. We are the sheep. And he's leading us through still waters. Sounds pretty good. Our hope is that we will have Jesus in the midst in the kingdom. Okay, so let's summarize. We looked at three different bits. 3, 1, 3. Like that. Right? What Jesus was doing when he was in our midst before his death? Doing his Father's business. He was serving and he was reconciling. We then saw that Jesus was in our midst in his death. And then we saw that after his death, he has no more barriers anymore. He is active in the ecclesias today in our midst, and we look forward to the kingdom where he will be in our midst again. Right? Jesus Christ was in our midst, is in our midst, and will be in our midst. Right? Now, I'm going to read. The real reason I give a talk like this is because as Christadelphians, we're so afraid of the Trinity, and I absolutely agree the Trinity is completely false. I was talking to my grandmother last night and she had no way of explaining it to me. I don't know what she was going on about. We're so scared of the Trinity that we walk way, 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 way over here and we just say, okay, it's just God. And we almost forget about Jesus. And we're a little bit like Mary and Joseph, who are like, well, where is Jesus? What is he actually doing today? Right? We've almost disconnected ourselves from Jesus of fear of the Trinity. Right? Jesus is very much helping us today. Jesus is very much in our midst today. And the Bible, I think, makes it fairly clear that that is the case. I'm happy to talk to you about it afterward. But John gives this little expression, and I'm going to finish with this. I think it's really cool. When John the Baptist came, he said something in John chapter 1:26. And I feel like this is quite a nice thing, something that you could possibly say to Christadelphians, even to myself. I mean, I had problems understanding my relationship with Jesus for a while, even after baptism. And I can't say I'm absolutely clear about it today, but I think I've got a better grasp. A good example, right, is you know how Pharaoh gives all of his power to Joseph? I think that's quite a nice analogy, that even though Pharaoh is still the head of Egypt, Joseph gets all of the power and he's still working and doing everything, but Pharaoh's still above him. And I think it's sort of the same. Jesus has handed over all power, God has handed over all power to Jesus. God is still very much in charge and the boss, but Jesus is the one that's very active. And you can see in places like Acts that it's the spirit of Jesus that's stopping them from going into Macedonia, right? I think he's passed everything on to Jesus. Still the boss, still top dog, right? Still the superior, greater than Jesus, no problems there. But I think Jesus is in our midst. Anyway, sorry, that's an aside. John chapter 1, verse 26. John answered them, I baptize you with water, but in the midst of you stands one whom you do not recognize. Standing amongst you, in your midst, is someone that you might not recognize. And that person that John was talking about was Jesus Christ. And I think Jesus Christ is very much in our midst today.